You know, there are places in the West where police just won't go, and that's in San Francisco and Seattle and some other places, where they won't show up for a misdemeanor. Maybe you've heard about that. If theft under a certain dollar amount, $700, $900, somewhere in that range. So people can go into stores, steal up to $750, $800, $900, and walk out and know that nobody's going to do a thing about it. Last week in Oregon, two guys walked into a Lowe's, loaded up carts with wire, and casually strolled out of the store with $2,000 worth of wire, knowing nobody was going to stop them. Senator Rand Paul just produced papers recently that showed that the U.S. government funded COVID experiments in Wuhan, China. The White House is recently mandating vaccine for all federal employees and others. This is in addition to the mandates imposed by the state on the state level. Some people feel that the government has overstepped its bounds. Because of the stirring up of both fear and some of these things by government and the media, schools have come on board. I don't know if you heard about this. Last week at Rutgers University, a student was kicked out because he was not vaccinated. But here's the kicker. He was taking virtual classes. He was having online classes, and because he was not vaccinated, he was kicked out of school. Now, so in addition to all these things, there may be some collusion between government and people in drug company high places. It's possible. Saying that is, decisions may be made for profit's sake, not necessarily for health's sake. I say that may be the case. I don't know. It's possible, isn't it? Certainly possible. But why do I say this? Here's my question today. Do you ever get frustrated by government? Doug, you laughed way too quickly on that one. Look, I know government is mandated by God. I absolutely know that. I know that He appoints government, He allows government. I know what Romans 13 says. But sometimes government can be frustrating, can't it? The biblical character Daniel must have felt the same way at times. I want you to think about the situation Daniel was in. He was a God-fearing young man who stood back and watched his own government, his own Israeli government, fall to pieces due to idolatry, made horrible decisions. And then Babylon, which is a superpower of the day, as chewing up all of the Middle East in their quest to become a superpower. And then they come swooping down into Israel at a variety of times, and they take the best of its citizens off and cart them off to Babylon, and Daniel and his three buddies were in that group. And so he gets hauled up over the Fertile Crescent into Babylon, and he's conscripted into service. He's forced into service. He has to learn a foreign language. He has to learn a foreign culture, and he has to learn foreign pagan literature. Now, how would you feel if you were Daniel in that situation? How would you feel if your own government really messed up and then another government took you captive and made you do all these things? So Daniel's in training to become an advisor to the king. He's recognized with his friends as doing pretty good, got some education, and he's in training at this time. During his training time, one night, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, has a disturbing dream, and he calls all his advisors in to help interpret the dream, but not just interpret. He said what he wants them to do is tell him the dream and then interpret it for him. That's right. He wants his advisors to divine what his dream was, somebody else's dream, and then give the interpretation. That's impossible, basically impossible. Now, they know, and the king knows, anybody can bluff their way through an interpretation. Anybody can say, yeah, well, this means that, and not know what they're talking about. And the king senses that their claims to be wise is not as great as they claim to be. We're in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to look in verse 8. We're going to start here right now. Then the king answered, I'm certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, "Well, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among the humans." Well, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So a decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Wow, rough luck for Daniel and his friends, huh? They didn't have much to do with that. They were still in training, and they'd been in Babylon a year or two, and now they're going to die. And so Daniel asked his supervisors, "What's the deal? This is a pretty harsh decree. Why are we being, put to death? What's going on?" And his Arioch explains what's going on. And Daniel goes to the king in the palace and begs for time. He asks for time to be able to figure this out. And he does. Then he goes to his three good friends, his Jewish friends, and he says, "Look, pray your heads off, or your heads will be taken off," literally. And they pray, and God answers their prayer. I want you to turn, if you're not turned already, to Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 19. In verse 19, "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Now, we've heard the background of the dream and the interpretation for this leading up to this. And the focus for today is this eruption of praise on the part of Daniel. He's just praising God. Their lives had just been saved. They get to hang around a bit longer. God came through. He answered their prayer. And this section that we're looking at today is all about praise and the reasons for it. And I think they can be our reasons for praise as well. Daniel gives these reasons for praise. We can praise God in the same way. For reason number one, God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. Wisdom is mentioned three times in this passage. First, he says that wisdom and power belong to God, and they do. And then he says that God gives wisdom to the wise. Now, this doesn't mean that God only gives wisdom to the wise. You've got to be wise, and then God will give you wisdom. What this means is if you happen to have wisdom, it comes from God. It came from God. Wisdom comes from God. That's what he says. And then after receiving the interpretation of the dream, he acknowledges God has given me wisdom. God has given, shared his wisdom with us so that we can remain on the earth a little while longer. And so there's three mentions there. God has wisdom to give. And that's why Daniel is praising him at this time. God has wisdom to give. Mark Batterson, the author, writes about Google. How many of you use the Google search engine? And almost everybody here has used the Google search engine. By the way, this is an aside. I don't use Google any longer because Google tracks what you do, and they know where you're going and what you're looking at. I use DuckDuckGo for a search engine. They do not track where you're going. That might be handy someday. Anyway, Google search engine. It's a well-kept company secret how many servers they employ for their search engine. But at last, best estimate is 2,376,640 servers. 2.25 million servers that constantly patrol the internet looking for information. So that they use an algorithm, a search algorithm called PageRank, and that crawls 20 billion websites a day. 20 billion websites a day. That performs over 100 billion searches every month. Now, some of us are old enough to remember when you wanted to get some information, you had to go to the library or look at your parents' old set of encyclopedias, which was hopelessly out of date. And you had to go to the library and ask a librarian, or you had to go to the card catalog and look something up, or you had to find a book or find somebody who knows. Now we've got it within a couple clicks. I had to replace the headlamps on our Subaru yesterday, and almost ripped my eyes out trying to figure it out. And then I went to a couple of clicks and boom, there it is, a very straightforward video, all the information we can need. Now, as remarkable as the internet is and all the information at our fingertips, it doesn't hold a candle to the Holy Spirit's search engine. There is nothing, nothing that God does not know. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. God knows the number of hairs on everyone's head here this morning and around the world. He also knows that some of us have less hair than others and are losing it regularly. God has on file every subconscious memory and every subliminal desire you and I have had from birth all the way to the current day. And he multiplied that by every person around the world throughout history. Every thought, every desire on file. God knows the value of pi to the 10 millionth decimal and beyond. You name it, God knows it. He is searching all things at all time, way more than Google. In other words, God has wisdom to give. God has information to share. He has knowledge to share with us when we ask of him. And Daniel and his friends asked, and they got. Now, Daniel and his friends already had a download of some kind of wisdom to begin with, because when they first got to Babylon, their way there, at some point they got this, Daniel 1:17, and that says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So God had already given them quite a bit. But this is a death mandate from the king. And now this calls for specific wisdom. They had wisdom from God, and they needed specific wisdom concerning the dream and its interpretation. And God answered. Do you ever need specific wisdom? Do you ever need to know something very specifically from God? Where to go? What to do? Where am I going to work? Where are we going to live? What should I do about the vaccine? Where should I go? What should I say to these people? How should I behave here and there? God has wisdom to give to you. You just have to ask. Where in the Bible does it say that we can ask for wisdom? Pardon? James chapter 1. Oh, yes, James chapter 1. Good thinking here. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who is really a tight-fisted, tightwad when it comes to wisdom. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. God has wisdom to give for your specific situation. For what you need, God has wisdom to give for you. You just have to ask and believe that he'll give it to you. God has it, and he will give it. We all need specific wisdom at times. Now, most of the time, we get our wisdom from the Word of God and what God has written and what God has said, absolutely. But sometimes we need specific information, and he gives it. God gave Daniel and his friends wisdom, and that's why he praises him. Second reason for praise is this: God rules history. God rules history. Now, here's how Daniel understood the interpretation God had given him. Remember, he saw the dream. He got the interpretation. And he says this: wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. How did Daniel know that God has times in his hands? How did Daniel know that he deposes kings and raises up others? Because he understood the dream. And the dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel saw and interpreted, has to do with the next four superpowers over the next 500 to 700 years. Here's an illustration of this. So, and this is reasonable facsimile of whatever he was in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Basically, the golden head had to do with Babylon. And that was, they were in their superpower days. And Daniel had about 40 years left. He didn't know it now, but for about 40 years, Babylon would be the superpower. And then in one swift night, and you see this in Daniel chapter 5, the Persians take over. Persians take over, and they're the gold, the silver arms in the Medo-Persian Empire, and that's what 263. Let me see, that's 200. Yeah, Cyrus, the Persian Empire lasts about 200 years, and so Daniel would be able to talk about both Babylon and Persia because he saw the transition, but he wouldn't be able to name the next two. From Persia, the Greeks took over, and they were the superpower that ruled between 260 to 300 years. And then Rome takes over the legs of iron, and they went for over 500 years. And then, and some people think the toes, different various kingdoms up until the present day. And so this is the dream that Daniel got, the interpretation of this dream, that he got understanding that the God he prays to is the God of history. He rules history. He deposes kings and raises others up. Now, sometimes that's actively deposing and raising others up, and I think we see that in Daniel 5 when Belshazzar takes the golden implements from the temple and he's getting drunk using the cups from the temple, and God comes in and the handwriting on the wall. And right that very night, it goes from Belshazzar to Cyrus or Darius, and the Persians take over. So God either actively deposing and raising kings or permissively allowing kingdoms to rise and fall. God is in charge of times and kingdoms. He is absolutely sovereign. Is he sovereign in the USA? I imagine that Chairman Xi in China and President Putin in Russia think that they're pretty sovereign. They get a lifetime gig going, and they've arranged that for themselves. But they're not as sovereign as they think they are. I'll bet Fidel Castro thought he was pretty sovereign. But Fidel got old. He had to turn it over to Raul, his brother. Now, I'm so glad that I don't live in China or Russia or Cuba. I live in the United States, and I'm glad for that. But is God still sovereign when bad people rule? When Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar or Nero or Hitler or insert your leader here, when they're in charge, is God still sovereign? Yes, he is. Absolutely sovereign. Daniel was a foreign captive in a pagan land under an authoritative rule. He was a minority where he existed. And he still saw God as over all nations ruling history because of this dream. You ever feel like a small cog in a complex mechanism called the United States? You ever feel like you really don't have any weight at all? You really feel like you're just a governmental afterthought, good for only paying taxes, and that's about it? I'm sure Daniel felt something like that. Let me ask you this. Do you think this view of the sovereignty of God would have been comforting to Daniel? Would that have comforted him? I think so. Is it a comfort to know that it's not Nebuchadnezzar or any other president or premier or dictator who's ultimately in charge? That it's God that's calling the shots? And that you know him personally. You are related to the one who's calling the shots. The powers of Rome and Greece and Persia and Babylon faded, didn't they? Oh, they were at the heights at one point, but they absolutely faded. Think about where Italy and Greece are now, where they can only have the looking back in history to the times that they ruled, and now they're up to their ears in debt, and they're not that significant. Although Italy's a great place to visit, honestly it is. Iran may be trying, but they're nowhere close to ruling the way they did back in the day. They can only dream about running the world like they used to. But the God that you're attached to, the God that you know, the God that you wake up and talk to every morning, is the God of history. He's the one in charge. It's his kingdom that lasts forever. And it's His kingdom that will never fade away. We praise God because He rules history. Another reason we praise God, number three, is this, because God reveals everything. God reveals everything. He knows the future. I mean, look what He told Daniel. He told Daniel what the next 500 plus years were going to be like. Which superpower would rule? Who would succeed who? And how it will all end. He knew those things. The God you talk to knows the future and is going to be there when you get there. He will never leave you or forsake you. He'll comfort you, whatever circumstances you happen to be in. He knows absolutely everything that goes on and that will go on. He reveals everything. I imagine there was a lot of palace intrigue in Daniel's day. Do you think that was the case? Palace intrigue? Isn't there always palace intrigue where there's some money and power involved? Always somebody jostling for position or scheming? I mean, Daniel was there when King Belshazzar drank too much from the goblets and Persia took over. The kingdom was changed overnight. That was intrigue. There was scheming, intrigue, and manipulating going on back then, and there is going on today. You think there's any intrigue in the White House today? Is there any scheming in Washington, D.C.? Any shuffling for promotion or position or influence? You think there are any shady deals being forged? If there's any collusion between the FDA, the CDC, and big drug companies, or people in power? I'm just asking. Maybe yes, maybe no. But listen to Daniel's hymn of praise. Listen to what Daniel says. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. He knows what lies in darkness. He's not affected by the darkness because He's light. Light dwells with Him. He knows what's going on. All those things that are unsearchable to you and I that we may never know, God knows. He sees into the dark. He knows every single thing that's going on. Does it ever bug you when you think people are getting away with something that they shouldn't? Does that bug you? All the time. Do you think there are leaders in Washington, D.C. who think they're getting away with things? Edward Bennett Williams, we have a picture here, Edward Bennett Williams. Back in the 70s and early 80s, he was a power broker in Washington, D.C. Mr. Williams was a high-powered lawyer. He represented, listen to this, these are just a partial list, Jimmy Hoffa, John Hinckley, Frank Sinatra, and Hugh Hefner. Those are some of his clients he represented. He owned sports teams. He was so wealthy. He had a large holding of real estate. He owned several sports teams. He was good friends with Ben Bradley, who was then the editor of the Washington Post. You couldn't get much closer to power than Mr. Williams. He had money and tons of influence. And then he got cancer. And as he lay dying of cancer at the age of 68, some friends were teasing him about all the power and influence he had in Washington, D.C. And he said this, "Power? I'm about to meet real power." Edward Bennett Williams got it, didn't he? The secrets, the deals, the abuse of power, everything that lies in darkness is known by God. One day, all will be seen. No one gets away with anything. Not even you and me. Now, if we know Jesus, the secrets that we have in our lives will be forgiven. Absolutely, which is pretty cool. But God still knows it all. It will all come to light. We praise God because He reveals everything. He knows it all and will reveal it all. Finally, we praise God because God lasts forever. Now, you may go, of course He lasts forever. But I want you to think of Daniel's situation. He was serving in a government, like many others, a cog in a very complex mechanism that would have gotten rid of him if it could have in a heartbeat. And, you know, they tried. Daniel's the lion's den and other things. Daniel is expendable from Nebuchadnezzar's perspective. But with this dream and its interpretation, God gives Daniel a vision of the end of Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and beyond. An eventual end to all those empires. But there's one kingdom in this interpretation that will never end. In the dream, Nebuchadnezzar sees a rock carved out of a mountain, not by human hand, it's by God. And that rock strikes the statue, scatters it. It scatters to the four winds. But that rock then becomes a huge mountain that takes over the whole earth. What is that rock? What's going on there? What does it mean? Daniel gives the interpretation, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold to pieces. This, for Daniel and for us, is a signpost to eternity. There is one kingdom that lasts forever. One kingdom that will outlast all others when all others fade. It's the kingdom of God. There's a thing called a signpost forest just outside of Watson Lake, Yukon. It was started in 1942. There was a soldier who was injured. He was building part of the Alcan Highway, Alaska-Canadian Highway. His name is Carl Lindley. He was injured and he was sent to recuperate near Watson Lake. And while he was there in recuperating, they asked him to do a task. Now, they had these things around this area called signposts. And you know what they are? It's a post in the ground, and it's got a piece of wood on it with it's tapered at the end, and it says this way to the infirmary, or this way to Alaska, or this way. You know, you've seen posts like that, right? Signposts. Well, a bulldozer knocked one over, and Mr. Lindley was asked to repair that signpost. And as a joke, he put on, this is up in the Yukon, Danville, Illinois, 2,000 some miles. Danville was his hometown. And so he put that signpost on there. And other people thought it was a pretty cool idea. So they began to put their hometown signs on there. And pretty soon, all over, these signs were pointing to all different places. We have a picture here of right now. And this tradition grew. And now people from around the world, there are over 80,000 signs for pointing to different places in the Yukon. Now, it's called the Signpost Forest. And anybody ever been there? Anybody ever seen it? Yeah, it's awesome. Elisa gives two thumbs up. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Now, why do I tell you that? Daniel, here in this passage, is nailing up a signpost to heaven, a signpost to eternity here, the kingdom of eternity this way, and it's nearer than you think. That's what he's doing in this passage. God lasts forever. Where is that kingdom? Will it last forever? What kingdom is it that we'll see will remain when all others fade? It's the kingdom of God. It's the rock that's cut out of the mountain that grew into the whole earth. It's the kingdom of Jesus that lasts, will outlast all others. And if you know Jesus, you're a part of that kingdom. I love these words from Revelation chapter 11, and that are sung during Handel's Messiah, tell about the day that this is literally fulfilled. The kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of the Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Every kingdom, every dictator, every ruler, every president, every premier will one day bow to the name of Jesus. And he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. What kingdom are you placing your bets on? Is it government or God? Temporary or eternal? Hitch your wagon to God, people. Hitch your wagon to God. My goodness. Why do something that just lasts for a few years when you can be a part of something that lasts forever? No matter how small or insignificant you may think you are now, one day you will shine like stars. you will be seen for what you really are one day. Children of the King. It's hard to imagine now, isn't it? But that's where we're headed. We are citizens of His kingdom. Now, we need to take a long-term view of this, like Daniel did. He was looking ahead to hundreds of years. He knew he wouldn't live to see it. But he saw it by faith, and he believed in it, and he wrote about it. Daniel saw it by faith, and he trusted God, and he followed God with that. And as you and I pray for revival, we talked about last week, and as we look for a move of God, and we look to see what He's doing on the earth right now, we need to see it by faith and wait on God for those things. Continue to pray and seek Him. And we need to exercise the faith that is written about in this Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. We pray and look forward to the revelation of God's rule in the earth and the day when His kingdom will encompass the entire earth and every eye will see it. So we praise Him now because of these things. We pray and we wait, and we praise Him because He gives wisdom. He rules history. He reveals everything, and He lasts forever. Now, before I go, let me just ask you quickly, and people say that you can only usually remember one thing from a message, and sometimes I'm conflicted because I give you three or four points. But if there's one thing of these four things we talked about today that you want to remember, what is it? Just ask a few of you to respond to me. What one thing of these four ways, reasons we can praise God, what stands out to you? Pardon? God's in charge. Very good. Thank you, Mike. Anybody else? Yes. Susie. What's that? He's the only one? Yeah, thank you, Susie. Appreciate that. Absolutely. I heard something over here. Naya. He has wisdom to give us. Very good. I heard something over here, too. He lasts forever. And we will, too. Yes, Sarah. Forever and ever. Absolutely. Yeah, very good. Anybody else? Yes, Ruth.
No matter
what's going on, God's got it. He does. He has it, doesn't he? God's not worried. God's not freaking out right now, is he? He's not. I saw a hand over here, too. Any other hands? All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, like Daniel praised you because of these things, Lord. You do have it. You've got it. You rule history. You have wisdom to give. You will reveal everything. Nobody gets away with anything. And Lord, you last forever. And we belong to you. And we look forward to the day when we will shine like stars because we reflect who you are. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand. In the darkness, you were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
Forever and ever. Thank you for joining us today for worship. Join us for fellowship and cookies in the back, and we have a prayer team here if anyone has a special need today. Thank you.